We have been hearing how the Bible must go through us. You know, that's become my desire, that not just read the Bible, but may God's Word go through. Just imagine what tremendous effect if the 66 books of the Bible go through us. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you will not be the same. Oh, maybe say, Lord, help me, Lord, not just read it in a intellectual way or an academic way, to understand God's heart, to understand God's will, and be gripped by God's word, so that we can become obedient to all that is written. And this morning is in my heart to share how, if you obey all the exhortations that are given in the given in God's word, our life will be tremendously blessed, both our personal life, our family life, our spiritual life, and also in the place of work. So I'm going to share with you quickly this morning what's on my heart. And before I go to share what's in my heart, I want to begin from the book of Ephesians, how it says in chapter 1, verse 3, how God has blessed us with all blessings in heavenly places. And it says how God has chosen us, verse 4, that we should be holy. And verse 5, God has predestinated us. And verse 4, again it says, He has made us accepted in the Beloved. I love that verse. And then it says, He has redeemed, verse 7, we have redemption through His blood. And then it says, verse 8, He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And verse 9, it says, God revealed to us His will. And it's amazing all the wonderful things God has done for us. And He said He's given us an inheritance in the saints. And not only that, He says in verse chapter 2, how once we were dead in our sins, God quickened us here and gave us His life. And He loved us, the great love, He was rich in mercy. Chapter 2, verse 4. And verse 5, He quickened us with Christ, and raised us up, and made us sit together in heavenly places. When you get time, brothers and sisters, read Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. You know, there's not even a single exhortation in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. It's all about what the Lord has done for us. How He broke that middle wall of partition. And how now the Jews and the Gentiles can be together in the body of Christ. And how God is building us together as the body of Christ, and how we can know the length and breadth and height of His love. And because of all that God has done for us, you know, Paul was so gripped by what God has done. He says, after writing three chapters, he says, chapter 4, I therefore means read what's written before. God's done so much for us, and sometimes we don't even know what the Lord has done for us. And it's good for us to take time to know what the Lord has done for us. That's why you've got to read Ephesians chapter 1, 2 and 3. And the Lord has done so much for us. Then Apostle Paul says, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord. And from Ephesians chapter 4, it's filled with exhortations. And most believers act as if all these exhortations don't belong to them. They just say, oh, God imputes to us the righteousness of Christ, and now we're on the way to heaven. Just save our souls. And it's as if chapter 4, 5 and 6 is not applicable to them at all. Most believers act like that. But I was amazed. I was going through all the exhortations given in Ephesians chapter 4 to 6. And I want to take you through briefly all those exhortations one by one. And if you obey them, I believe your life will be tremendously blessed beyond measure. And to begin with, it says, chapter 4, verse 1, walk worthy of the calling wherein you are called. God's given you and me a calling to be separate from the world, to lay hold of Christ. And then it says, walk worthy of this calling with all holiness. What an exhortation. meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another in love. After we are saved, turn from sin and be baptized in water and the Holy Spirit, we get a connection with the Lord. And then we understand more and more about our calling. And the calling is so great. Paul says, walk with all holiness. That means every brother and sister who is part of the body of Christ, that's how they're supposed to walk. With all holiness. Just imagine what a tremendous church that is when the brothers and sisters are walking, everyone, with all holiness, meekness, long suffering, and they bear with one another. And number two, so that we keep on learning to walk constantly with lowliness and meekness. There's no end to that. And number two, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So many churches are filled with strife and division and conflict. In fact, it's very few churches where there's peace and unity and harmony. By the grace of God, it's been too good with us that there's been harmony and unity amongst us. But here it says, do your best to preserve the unity of the Spirit. You've often heard me say that. Through me, no conflict or division or strife will come to the church. Can you say amen to that? I don't think you believe that. That's how you should say to yourself. I shall not be responsible for any conflict or strife or division in the church. And that's negative. To be positive is, I shall do everything to promote unity, harmony, oneness, peace, fellowship. That's why we are against all backbiting and gossip. Because that promotes disunity. That promotes division. What a fantastic calling. Can you say ever since you came to the church, that's what you've been doing? To do your best to promote unity and peace. I know we got a flesh. I know so many things come up from within us. But we should know what to deal with it so that I shall not bring some distance between the brothers and sisters. I shall do everything to promote fellowship. I shall not go and talk evil of one another. I shall not talk about the negative things of the brothers and sisters. And it's wonderful, brothers and sisters. Try and obey this exhortation and tell me if your life does not get changed. And then we move on to the next exhortation. And here, I want to take a little more time to stress this. You know, everywhere people are saying, give money, give money, give money for God's work. But here Apostle Paul takes time to emphasize chapter 4. He says, God's given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, all of them. Why? He says, to build up the body of Christ so that the brothers and sisters in the church can grow up to be a mature man. It says, the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, it says, that we henceforth be no more children. That's a good exhortation. Don't be children. Grow up. Tossed to and fro. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. And I believe that's God's heart. That we should not remain as children. When we got saved, we were children. But after we got saved, God wants us to grow and develop and become mature. And verse 15 it says, we speak the truth in love and grow up into Him in all things. And in other words, our passion should be, Lord, help me to grow up to maturity. I don't want to be a baby in Christ. I don't want, Lord, to be tossed to and fro, confused. No, I want to be a brother who's pressing on with a goal, with a purpose, with a focus. And that's God's will for every brother and sister in the church. If you understand God's calling, brothers and sisters, we don't want your money. That's why in this church we don't speak much about money. But we say, don't be babes. Grow up. Like all the parents, they want the children to grow up. It's a great joy to see so many of our children, they've grown up. I know them from the time they were born. Today I see them taking responsibility in the church. That's wonderful. And that's how God wants us, not to be a babe. Isn't it good? The Lord God's great longing is, one word if I can say, maturity. Oh, let that be our passion. Lord, I never want to be immature, childish, silly. I want to be a mature brother. Let it be a desire to grow more and more and more in Christ. Imagine if every brother in the church had the passion. Lord, make me more mature, Lord. Never mind about my salary and the other earthly things. If I have them, fine. If I don't have them, fine. But Lord, I want the maturity of Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's make that a passion. And not only that, verse 16 it says, it's a wonderful verse. It says, the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. You know what's God's will for you? That you should be an effective brother. Like in the factory sometimes there are thousands of employees, and everybody's got to do their part. Then only the final product can be assembled. For example, if they're making a car, each one's got a specific task. Everybody's got to be efficient. They got to do their job on time, and they got to do a good job. So that, supposing they're making a car, the car turns out to be a good car that can be sold well. In the same way, in the church, so many people I find, they're just hanging around. They just come. But that's not God's will. God's will is that I must do my job well. Be connected to the Lord, connected to the brothers and sisters. And when I do my job well, it's God's will that I should come to a place where I do my job spiritually, I mean, efficiently, effectively. Like in this body. In this body there are different organs. Each one is doing its job. Imagine if one organ in this body doesn't function, how much we suffer. Think about it. Every part in this body is functioning efficiently, well. Oh, may God give us the same responsibility. Say, Lord, I must not be a passive brother or sister. I must not be an irresponsible brother or sister. I must not be an ineffective brother or sister. I must have such a connection with you that I can do my job in the body of Christ to the best of my ability. And then it says the church is built up in love. Okay, we move on to the next exhortation. Verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Sit in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of the heart. What a wonderful exhortation. Brothers and sisters, can you say, I will not walk as Gentiles? That means there should be such a difference between a Gentile and a brother in the Christ. Have you ever tried to obey that exhortation? Walk not as other Gentiles. See, they don't have a life in God. They are separated from the life of God. That's the mark of a Gentile. There's no life of God in him. And the mark of the fact that you're connected, that you're a member of the body of Christ, the life of God is there. And then it says, verse 19, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. This is the mark of a Gentile. There is deep sin inside. And I believe if we say, I'm a member of the body of Christ, we should be so separate from all the sin. And then it says, verse 22, put off concerning the former life, which is corrupt. The old man, it says, according to deceitfulness. Can you say that I put off all that belongs to that old way of life? Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And verse 24, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness through holiness. And again, one more. Verse 25 says, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What is the proof that you are a member in the body of Christ? that there's no lying. That you have learned to speak the full truth. I'm sorry to say, you have had brothers and sisters in our midst. Oh, they never tell the truth. You have to dig and dig and dig and question them, and they tell a little bit truth. Oh, there's so much of lying. That's not the life of God. That shows they're not connected to the Lord. Like a godly brother said, you know, when you're selling fish, you don't just say it's all fish. You say this is today's fish, this is yesterday's fish, this is day before yesterday's fish. That is to speak the truth. And I must say, not many brothers have learned to speak the exact truth. You know, especially when they have sinned, it only takes 5 minutes to come and say, brother, this is what I've done. I'm sorry. Please help me. In 5 minutes, we can solve the problem. But you think many have learned it? I'm sorry to say, oh, there's so much of lying. May the Lord help us to put away lying. And you see, if you don't grow in Christ, brothers and sisters, what a wonderful exhortation. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, because we are connected with one another. And then, the wonderful exhortations. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. 27 it says, give no place to the devil. Imagine what would happen in your life if you obey this exhortation. Ephesians 4:27, don't give the devil, it says in another translation, a foothold. Like we say in this body, we don't want any sickness. Why we say, boil the water and drink. Don't eat food that is sold on the street, because there are flies sitting on the fruits. We say, don't eat that. Because we know you can get sick. Especially in India, we know if you're not careful, we can get sick very easily. And all those who don't know hygiene, they say, doesn't matter, brother. That's very tasty food. I can eat anything. Something like the young people are like that, very foolish. They eat what is sold on the street, and then they get sick. And the parents have to pay the price for it. Oh, maybe just like we hate all sickness, maybe he hates all spiritual sickness. What a wonderful exhortation. How many of us can say, this is what I've learned after I came to the church, to the best of my ability, I don't give the devil a foothold in my life. Like we sing the song, the devil and I, we don't agree. Is the devil your friend, brothers and sisters? There are some people who got secret friendship with the devil. Yeah, and that's the reason it doesn't go well with them. Examine your life. See if the devil's got some foothold in your life. Through anger he gets a foothold in your life. That's why we hate all anger in our lives. Through lies, the devil gets a foothold in your life. That's why we hate every form of lies. And you can examine in your own life. Through music, I believe many young people got a foothold in their lives. The devil's got a foothold in their lives through music. And I can go on through internet, through different books that you read, through different habits, through friends. I don't want to give the devil a foothold in my life. And as soon as I get light on it, I want to get rid of that. I say, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Like we sing that song, that's the exact favorite song. I wish by and by, how does it go? When I look on his face, I wish I'd give him more. Is that your longing, brothers and sisters? Lord, I want to give myself totally to you. And nothing to the devil. Just think how it will go with your life. Give yourself to the Lord more and more. I like that expression in Romans. Yield yourselves to the Lord. Daily yield yourself, yield myself to the Lord, so that the Lord can have more power, authority over my life. The devil's power, so that the devil has no power over me. And then it says, let him that steal no more, let him labor working his own, with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Then this wonderful verse in 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace to the earth. In other words, you give your tongue to the Lord so much that no corrupt word, no unwholesome word comes. Only good, blessed, edifying words. I haven't come across many brothers and sisters who long for this life. Lord, I don't want to speak empty words, Lord. I want to speak blessed, challenging, edifying, encouraging, strengthening words. And I believe that's God's will for every brother and sister. This is not speaking about the gift. Some brothers and sisters, God's given a gift. I'm not talking about that here. I'm talking about ordinary members in the body of Christ with the connection to the Lord. And the Lord does such a sanctifying work in their mouth that their whole speech life gets transformed. When they open their mouth, it's a blessing. I don't know, brothers and sisters, whether you have a longing in your heart like that. Lord, when I open my mouth, let it bless the others. Let there be grace. Let there be edification. Does this word challenge you? Have you tried to obey this verse? Like we say, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to encourage you this morning. Try and obey this word. See, if your life doesn't get changed, brothers and sisters, and especially I want to say to the sisters, just think what a wonderful sister you will become. Every time you open your mouth, good, blessed words come. And if you have a, in case you happen to say anything stinging, I'm amazed. The sister seems to have a wonderful gift to say something stinging. Not that the brothers don't, but the sisters seem to excel there. Oh, maybe say, Lord, help me never to say something stinging. Instead, let me say something that's blessed. And then we move on to a still wonderful exhortation. I was going through the exhortation that blessed my heart. I say, Lord, I want all this exhortation to be fulfilled in my life. I want to obey them. And verse 30 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you're sealed to the day of redemption. God sealed you and me, brothers and sisters. Like it says in the Message Bible, don't break God's heart. I like that. Have you grieved the Holy Spirit? You know how we grieve the Holy Spirit? Often by our speech, by our thoughts. See, in connection with the speech, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. 29 spoke about speech, and then it says, verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you. It's so sad when children grieve the heart of the parents. Oh, it's really sad. When children grieve the heart of the parents, it's sad when the brothers and sisters grieve the heart of the elders by their stupidity and foolishness and stubbornness and rebellion. And it's very sad when we grieve God's heart. Oh, brothers and sisters, may we never, never, never grieve the Holy Spirit. I never want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I say, Lord, please help me. And it says, be kind to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Isn't that a good exhortation? Lord, just write this law into my heart, Lord. Never grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't give room to the devil. I like young brothers and sisters testify. I don't want to give the devil a foothold. And I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't hear many testimonies like that. And then it says, I move on to chapter 5. I just finished one chapter. 5 it says, be therefore followers of God, dear children. Walk in love. As Christ has loved us. Give himself as an offering. Sweet smelling favor. Oh, this is what we learn in the church. To walk in love. Pursue after love. Lord, help me, Lord. To learn, to obey all this exhortation given in 1 Corinthians 13. Every brother and sister in the body of Christ, you want to be committed to the church? learn to walk in love. So that can be written about you. This brother, he walks in love. And then, there's still more of wonderful exhortation here. It says, but fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becomes saints, or it says believers. God's got high standards for the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And we want to uphold God's standards. Oh, I wish all the young brothers and sisters who have grown up in the church and who have come to the church can be gripped by this. Say, fornication it shall be not named among me. Uncleanness, covetousness. Oh, may the Lord raise up such pure young brothers and sisters. Pure before marriage, pure after marriage. And then it says here, neither filth, verse 4, chapter 5, verse 4, neither filthiness. Imagine that after you come to Christ, you so put off all these things. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. You're just talking casual stuff, useless jokes. It says which are not fitting. Can you say that? This is not fitting for me. This habit is not fitting for me. Many people want to be committed to the church. Do you want to be committed to this kind of purity, brothers and sisters? You're welcome to the church. All the others can be visitors. Choose to be visitors as we have given them an option. And then it says, no, that no warmonger or unclean person, nor covetous man who's an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. In other words, you should lay hold of the kingdom of Christ, that there is purity through and through and through. And then, verse 8 it says, walk as children of light. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. In other words, there's no darkness in your life. All darkness to do with the devil. Say, Lord, I don't want any darkness in my life. And again, verse 10 it says, proving what is pleasing to the Lord. Oh, what a blessed exhortation. Many people say, brother, I don't know God's will. You can know God's will if you want, I'll tell you. You learn to do what is pleasing to the Lord. You know the kind of friends you have. Is that pleasing to the Lord? You know in your heart that is not pleasing to the Lord. And then it says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And verse 15, walk circumspectly. I like the expression. Not as fools. In other words, God doesn't want me to be a foolish brother and sister, but as wise. I hope you have a great longing to be saved from much foolishness. I have a great longing. I want to be saved from all foolishness. And walk circumspectly means carefully. Yeah, I don't want to sin in any way. I want to be careful, like we heard often, the cat walking on that wall where there are glass pieces. Oh, the cat knows how not to get hurt by the glass, sharp glass pieces. And oh, maybe say, as we walk in this world, I don't want to be defiled in any way, Lord. Verse 17, don't be unwise. Understand the will of God. Honestly, I'm telling you, I'm excited by these exhortations. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Is it a burden, this exhortation? Be filled with the Spirit, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, if you give yourself to the Lord gives you so much of joy and gladness, and there's a melody in your heart, whether you have money or not, whether you have promotion or not, whether you're married or not. I mean, God wants to give us such a praising life as we heard some weeks ago, that your heart is so filled with praise and thanks to God, giving thanks always for all things, just submitting yourselves to one to another. And now we move on to some exhortations for the family. Wives, Many wives think, I don't have any ministry in the body of Christ. I want to tell you your ministry this morning. All of you wives who are married, submit yourselves unto your own husband. It says here, as unto the Lord. I was thinking of that expression that comes again and again and again. Oh, how many have taken it like that? For many, it's a big burden. Oh, they're always preaching about submission in the church. That means you're not in tune with the Lord. You're not in tune with the Holy Spirit. And you know, when you're legalistic, you just obey to the letter. But you know, when the Lord works in your heart, you love to obey. You love to submit. May the Lord give us such a heart. And then, sisters, you can get encouraged. Now the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. Imagine to be such loving husbands in the church. As Christ loved the church. Like I've often said, many people say this verse, say this vow on the day of wedding, and after that completely forget it. Oh, to be a husband in the church, saying, Lord, I want to obey this word of God, to love my wife as Christ loved the church. In other words, both husbands and wives can build up the body of Christ. When you, an husband, learns to love, and a wife learns to submit to her husband, and saying, this is the God-given task for me, to take it the right way. And then we find the exhortation to the children. Have we got once obedient children? You know, there's a spirit of rebellion these days in the air. I want to say that, brothers and sisters, we want to fight against that. And that's why you, all of you children, young people, if you obey your parents and honor them, God has promised to bless you, that it will go well with you. And there's an exhortation to fathers, not to provoke the children. And then there's an exhortation for the servant. We can say employees, because we don't have servants now. We're all employees. Be obedient to them that are your masters according to flesh, with fear and trembling, in sins of as unto Christ. But they spoke to my heart. I must obey my employers as unto Christ. I said, Lord, help me before I retire. I want to obey that verse. And after all the exhortation, I want to close in a few minutes. Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Chapter 6, verse 10. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Then it says, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And again it says, take into you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And God's given us the armor. I'm not going to go into all the details. This is how we have to take on. This is our loins should be girded with truth. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take the shield of faith. Can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit. And pray always with all prayer. And God's ultimate aim for us is that you learn to fight the devil. Fight the evil spirits. And that's the reason God wants us, brothers, to be mature in the Lord. Obey all these exhortations. That you know you're not a weak, sickly brother or sister. That God wants to work in you, strengthen you, make you so strong that you can say, now I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm in a battle against the devil, against the evil spirits, the spirits of impurity, the spirits of pride, the spirits of lying, the spirits of darkness. And I want to say a word to all those who say, I want to be committed to the church. Do you want to be committed to the church in this way so that you can battle the devil? Or you just want, you came to the church to find a partner for your son or daughter? I'm sorry to say, there are people like that who are coming to the church to get some help. I want to say we are interested in building the body of life. I'm not against anybody getting married, finding partners here. That's not the point. The point is to be gripped by God's plan, to build up the body of Christ, to become mature, to be free from all sin, and fight the devil so that the devil has no power over us, so that in this battle that you can stand and you can fight. Take the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, are you in spiritual battle? I tell you something, when you are a wholehearted disciple, husband and a wife, you will sense the spiritual battle in your life. Yeah. When you're a wholehearted brother, you sense the spiritual battle. All the parents opposing you, ungodly parents I mean, ungodly relatives. Oh, may the Lord help us to be faithful in this battle. Don't be a traitor. Like, you know, India and Pakistan always have a conflict. How do you like an Indian fearing a Pakistani in the battle? We call him a traitor. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, has the Lord made you a warrior? Can you say, I'm 100% loyal to the Lord in this battle? I'm 100% loyal to the church in this battle? I don't want to give place to the devil. You know, when you give room for pride in some corner, you're giving place to the devil. When you give room for impurity in your life in some corner, you're giving room to the devil. When you give room for lying, you're giving room to the devil. Oh, maybe say this morning, Lord, I want to offer myself to you. Nothing for the devil and everything for the Lord. Oh, may the Lord raise up such a wonderful church. That is God's heart, brothers and sisters. A church against which gates of hell will not prevail. And that's the burden which you carried over the years. The Lord wants to raise up such a strong, powerful church against which gates of hell cannot prevail. And I want to ask you, are you contributing? Are you doing your part in this battle? Are you faithful in this battle? Or are you a baby? You know, there are visitors, plenty of visitors in our midst, and we are good to them. We don't exhort the visitors. We are kind to them. We greet them. And we bless them. But I'm talking to those who want to be committed to the church, who want to be members of the body of Christ. And I want to say, please take your responsibility, brothers and sisters. Just see what will happen to your life if you obey this exhortation in Ephesians chapter 4, 5, 6. Go home, read them. It is written for me, not for somebody else. It is written to me to walk with all lowliness, to preserve the unity of the Spirit. And come and tell me if it doesn't change your life. When you obey these exhortations, oh, may God give you grace to be a, give us all grace to be a effective member in the body of Christ. So that you can say, I'm not just hanging around. I'm not just going along with the crowd. No, God's given me a task. He's given me a calling. He's given me a goal. He's given me a purpose. And I believe we should be mad against the devil. I want to ask you, are you mad against the devil? Are you friendly with the devil? Then you're a traitor. Let's be mad against the devil. And say, Lord, help me, Lord, to be faithful in this battle. And let the church triumph. Let the Lord lead the church in triumph. Oh, may the Lord help us to be obedient to His word. And I want to challenge all of you this morning. Just think what will happen to your life when you obey these exhortations in Ephesians chapter 4, 5 and 6. And oh, may the Lord bless every one of us to see such fantastic results in our life. We'll sing a chorus, and after that we'll hear Brother Charles. And we're also happy to have Brother Steve Timmins from Norway with us. We've known him for many, many years. I'll ask him also to share for some time. Shall we sing?
When we read chapters 4, 5 and 6 of Ephesians, maybe some of us might have felt heavy because it's all about obedience and keeping the commandments. But to encourage you, I would like you to read the first three chapters of Ephesians, where you will have not a single commandment written there for you to obey. It's all about God, what He has done for you and me. And all that He has done for you and me, in view of that, Paul says in chapter 4 of Ephesians, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, and so on. In view of what he has written already in the previous three chapters, explaining how God loved us even when we were dead in sins and trespasses, when we were lost, when we were groping in darkness, He came after us, He saved us, and He cleansed us, and He made us heirs, joint heirs together with Him, and made us sit with Him in the heavenly places along with Him. And such a calling that we have, and in view of this, He says, walk worthy in the manner that God has called you. This verse reminds me of what Paul writes to Romans 12 verse 1. Again, he says the same thing there. I urge you, brethren, Romans 12, 1. I urge you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Almost the same thing. In view of what God has done to us, he speaks about chapter 1 and 2, the whole world being condemned under the judgment of God, and then justification by faith and righteousness, and God imputing his righteousness to our account. And all these things, what God has done, chapter 1 to 8. And then he speaks about Israel 9, 10, and 11. That we can leave aside. Reading these chapters, he says, in view of this, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, he says. So we were considering, I mean, brother was sharing a few verses from 4, 5, and 6 of chapter, Ephesians. There are a few commandments, and I would just like to give one or two to you. And make sure if you diligently keep these two commandments, just come and tell me 6 months later how it has gone well with you. For instance, he says here, in chapter 4, verse 17, this I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. Futility is futileness. That means it's nothing. It is empty. That means what he says here actually, in the Message Bible, I think it says, stop walking with people who are empty-headed. You know, it's a very strong exhortation for us. Stop walking with people who are empty-headed, who have nothing better to talk about, who are only gossips, who talk only about this, that, and the other things, who talk only about people, not about anything else. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, these people, empty heads, are excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardness of their heart. How hardness comes is because I don't attune myself to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't listen. I don't listen. Because I don't listen, I become hardened. Samuel said, when the Lord called him, every time the Lord called him, he said, here I am. I mean, he ran away to Eli rather. Imagine if Samuel had just, pulled the blanket over his head and pretended as if he was sleeping and not heard that voice. What he would have missed and what we would have missed through him. We would never have heard about Samuel. Every time he was called, he didn't know whether, it was God's voice. He ran to Eli and he asked whether he called me. And he said, no, go and sleep. And then the third time he says, go, if you hear again, tell that, yes, Lord, here I am, I'm waiting for you. Speak. And when he heard that, and we know how well it went with him, he developed so well, and there was hardly any prophet like that in Israel. And, if we have to make progress, in passing, I just want to say one thing. Many of us have heard this statement, Jesus has done all, and we don't have to do anything. It is there in Christendom, and it is partly true. Jesus has done, and we don't have to do anything to earn our salvation. Because of what he has done, it is a gift. We accept it by faith, but after that, to prove my love to him, I keep his commandments. Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. And we read in the Bible, oh, that they had a heart to obey and keep my commandments. The longing of God's heart, oh, that they would obey me so that it will go well with them. You see, obedience comes after we have accepted Jesus Christ. We don't obey Him in order to gain salvation. Salvation is absolutely free. Jesus has done it, and we repent of our sins. We accept it by faith. But after that, I prove my love to Jesus by keeping His commandments. You read that in the New Testament so many times it comes. I'll just point out one verse here in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. If after having been a believer, being born again, I still live in disobedience, what I incur finally is the wrath of God. It comes upon the sons of disobedience. If I don't obey, I am accumulating God's wrath. And the second thing I would like to share with you, one is to avoid these empty chatterers. But the Bible says in another translation, avoid people who talk too much. Avoid people who talk too much. And the second one, it says, avoid people who are hot-tempered and violent. Those who are hot-tempered and violent, if only you avoid these two kinds of people, 6 months later you see the progress that you have made. Because you hang around with such people, you are also like them. Year after year you come and sit here, even after 20 years, there has not been much change. Why? Because you birds of the feather flock together. You would like to hang out with such people whose conversation you like, whose company you like. But whereas Paul commands here, to Timothy, I would strongly encourage young people to read 1 and 2 Timothy and also Titus. These two apostles were young, and to these young brothers Paul wrote, and you will do well to take heed to these and read these epistles over and over again until these truths sink in you. He says in 2 Timothy 2:16, he says, avoid certain kind of people. Here he said, 2 Timothy 2:16, avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. If you want to make progress backwards, this is the way that Paul shows to you. He says, if you want to make further, if you want to go to further ungodliness, do this. Follow with this crowd. Hang around with this crowd. But if you avoid these people, worldly and empty chatterers, it will help you. It will edify you and you will make spiritual progress. One more thing he says in chapter 3, verse 5. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied the power, and avoid such men as these. Again he says, avoid people like this, avoid people like that. Why he says that? Because it depends, our spiritual condition depends on the company that we keep. He says, in another place, pursue after love, yeah, 1 Timothy 6:11 it says, flee from these things. That means run away from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness, and fight the good fight of faith, and so on and so forth. He says, be with such people who follow these things, those who pursue after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, gentleness, and so on. Flee from these things. What things? Just above that, he says about the love of money and things like that. And about so many things, he says, run away from these things and run towards these things. We have to run away from certain things and certain people and run towards these virtues and towards the people who follow these virtues. When we do that, our progress, like he says in Timothy, will be made manifest to all. If you want to make progress, please take heed to the word of God and obey so that it will go well with you.
First of all, let me say a word of thanks to Brother Newton for something that Brother Bratley, some of you older people here remember Brother Bratley from many years ago. He used to say to us in Oslo in the church, and he used to feel, he wasn't speaking to us and saying, you guys need to get your act together. He felt grieved because he said, you know, I get up here and I speak nearly every Sunday, and I do believe I have a word of God. And I believe God, I'm living the word and I have something for the church. But I feel a terrible lack of prophetic enthusiasm. I feel like I'm not presenting the word with the kind of prophetic enthusiasm that will grip people. And I must say, I really felt that with Brother Newton, we really are getting not just the word. He's not just saying, okay, there's this verse, and now we'll go to this verse, and we'll go to that verse. I feel like we have really got prophetic enthusiasm here. And so I'm very thankful for that, and it really gripped me. And Brother Charles, he's another kettle of fish altogether. You know, we're different. But when I listened to him, and I listened to him the last meeting as well, you would do well to listen carefully, brothers. You need to listen carefully because you will sense a deep-seated commitment that produces that same feeling of enthusiasm there. We have different styles, and some people like some types better than others. But I am begun to learn over the years to listen carefully. I'd like to begin with that just very briefly. I won't want to use a lot of time here, but there's something in the book of Revelation. I have two Bibles that are both Cambridge Pitt Minions, and they look the same. And I thought I had picked up my English Standard Version, but I picked up my New Living Translation instead. But you know, it's not so bad. There are some good things in the New Living Translation as well. And I would just like to briefly start with something in Revelation 2. It says in verse 7, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit. If you've got ears to hear, if you have an ear of a disciple, if you're with it at all, must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. To everyone who's victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life. And He goes on to say in the different churches what He will do. The important thing is to listen and understand what the Spirit is saying. And then if we go back to Ephesians, I would like to pick up on something that Brother Charles said. I think that's so important, that the first three chapters, they are truly the basis for how we can take the exhortations that come. It's not like suddenly Paul is going to hit us up, you know, wham, here come the exhortations, you know, you do this and do that. But it's chock full of promises and wonderful, giving God's mind from eternity past. Listen to just one little snippet. He says, God decided, not I'm worthy or anything, God decided on His own in advance, in eternity past, namely, to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. God decided in advance to do this. And He had an eternal purpose. But then we go on and we read in Ephesians 4, where we heard about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's the King James wording, and that's excellent. Endeavoring, that means try. Here it says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with one another, making allowance for each other's faults. And not, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't say you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to make allowance. You're supposed to be patient. That's the Christian thing to do. Because of your love is when we really keep the fire burning of love that we can do this and make allowance for our brothers. But it is something we've got to do. It's an exercise. And to keep the unity of the Spirit is not automatic. You have to endeavor. You have to make allowance. You have to do your best. All these translations use something different, but they're all something we have to work at. And then on to the point that that has been working in me. If we read in Ephesians 5:8, I believe it says, for once, it says in 7, don't participate in those things that people do. We heard about being together with empty-headed people and all of this. Don't do that. That's going to rob you of your development. But it says here, don't participate in the things these people do. And there's a whole bunch of things up there. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. It says in other translations, you are light in the Lord. So live as people of light. That's what we do when we avoid the darkness, when we avoid, even in the midst of the church, there are some people we have to avoid. And we have to avoid situations, and sometimes we have to be blunt in the brotherhood and put a stop to loose frivolity. I have a tendency to joke a lot. Sometimes it can go too far. And then it can be good if a brother says, okay, brother, that's enough. Need to be serious now. I need that. I mean, we all have our weaknesses. We need to be bold. Live as people of light. That's what we need to do. And the thing that I want to conclude with, and this is a personal testimony, I discovered, and if I'm repeating myself, something I said in October, I apologize. I don't remember what I said in October when I was here. But this has really gripped me, brothers. Part of being in the light and part of being people in the light, you know, by nature, we're cowards. I like to think that because I'm an American, I've gone to Norway. People, when they leave one country and they are an expatriate, they go to another country and they chuckle. They love to chuckle a bit about the peculiarities of the country they've gone to. Oh, they do that. Oh, they do that. Oh, we don't do it that way back where I come from. But then later on you realize they're chuckling over the things we do. And that's just something we do. It's fairly innocent. But Norwegians, they tend to avoid confrontations. They avoid personal confrontations. They don't like to speak their mind. They're a bit like the Eastern mentality. They'll talk to you, and then after they leave, somebody said to me, Brother Steve, please go back and tell that person. Don't bring all these things down to India. But that's not what they said to the person. You see, we like to talk to people in such a way that it's polite and they don't get offended. But the point is, we need to here be people of the light. We need to dare to take a risk. And Norwegian has a wonderful word, utlevere seg, out deliver yourself. In other words, to bear yourself, to take a chance and open up and expose yourself. That's a risk. And it's a risk of love. And we need to do this in the brotherhood. And when we do it and it's genuine and it's in love, we're not doing it, all right, I'm going to be open and bold here. You know, that's wrong. That will not keep the unity of the Spirit. But if we dare in love to open ourselves, we open ourselves up. Misunderstanding, criticism. But, you know, people aren't so dumb. They can sense our spirit. They can smell our spirit. So in time, people will understand. And in the meanwhile, maybe I have said it too wrong. Maybe I'm too blunt. And then I get criticism for that. And I know I meant it well. But I still can take the criticism. We have to endure this, brothers. This has to do with growing up. Babies cannot endure that. They cry if people misunderstand them. They get offended at the least thing. But we grow up in Christ. And then we can learn how to do this. And we go on. Where I'm going to the church... there's an assembly I'm attending, And in the brotherhood, we have brothers meeting from time to time, and I have to tell you, brothers and sisters, this is a testimony. We are far from perfect, that's for sure. There are lacks right, left, and center, and there's flesh all over the place, but I tell you this, before God's face, we have something wonderful that God's grace has produced. This openness with one another, in confidence and trust that we love one another, and we're not going to, oh, there may be some misunderstanding, but this idea that if you're not really open, that's when the devil comes and he plants a thought. What does he mean? What is he really thinking? Why is he silent like that? Why is that look on his face? That's when the devil gets in. But when we're open, when we're in the light, brothers, when we're in the light and we walk in the light and are children of the light, people begin to get confidence in us. Yes, in the light, they will see our faults. That's the risk of being in the light. But they love us. They will make allowance for that. I will make allowance for them. We have confidence. We invest confidence in the brothers. It's a start capital. I may have said this last October. Forgive me for repeating if I did. But when we do this, we keep Satan out. You know, Satan is not this overgrown rodent with horns and a tail and cloven hoof. That's something from the Middle Ages. Satan is the cleverest, the most outstanding, the best creation God ever created, you know, in eternity past. Satan was it. He shone better than any of the other angels. He's an intelligent guy. He is a nuanced guy. He's sneaky. He's elegant. He's nothing like that cloven hoof guy. He's not low down and I can't think of the word. He's not easy to spot. He's hard to spot. And we get rid of that when we live as people of the light. He loses his power. I've got to stop there. But this is my testimony, and it's working in the assembly where I am. We have so far to go, but God has done something, and it's laid the root, the foundation of not splitting. You guys have been through this and have years of learning this lesson. We're at the beginning, but we believe that God will keep us together because of this. Not let Satan get in there and do a destructive work. Thank God.
Let's close our eyes and respond to what God spoke to us this morning. Think how it's gone with you from the time you got saved. Has the devil got any foothold in your life? It's time to get rid of everything that's hindered your progress. Have you grieved the Holy Spirit? Oh, I want to take that word to my heart. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Like in the Message Bible says, He's the most intimate part of your life. Are you serious about your Christian life? Are you in this battle against the devil? Can you see that the devil has lost his power over you? Otherwise, we are wasting our time. When we give ourselves to the Lord, the devil's got to lose his power. Lord, we seek your face this morning as a church, and I pray, Lord, that you will help us. Have mercy on us, Lord. I pray, Lord, you will help us to take our Christian life far more seriously than we have done. And I pray, Lord, you will give us grace, especially I pray for the young people, Lord. That you'll give them grace not to give a foothold to the devil in any area of their lives, Lord. And help us to give ourselves to you this morning, Lord, totally. And we pray that you will have authority over our lives, Lord. Let your Spirit have full authority over our lives, Lord. Control over our lives. And we want to press on to the maturity of Christ, Lord. Give us a longing this morning, Lord, not to be children, not to walk as Gentiles, Lord. Oh, we pray you will give us a longing in our hearts to press on, to possess as much as of Christ that's possible for us in this earth, Lord. We pray you will give us a tremendous seriousness, Lord. And we pray you will bless us with growth, Lord, that comes from heaven, Lord. Yes, Lord, and build up the body of Christ, that your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you want to